It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Portland, Oregon is not out of control. To be sure, there are some people who have strong feelings, and there are some who have done things that are inappropriate and unlawful. But that is the challenge of our local officials and our state officials to manage it. Not having somebody unwelcome, uninvited, and unprepared coming in to take this difficult situation.
All right, so I think he said more than that, but that was Congressman Earl Blumenauer from Portland, Oregon. Portland is not out of control. Some people, you know, have strong feelings, but we are not out of control. Well, Dan Springer on Fox did a report that I want you to listen to that kind of puts it in context. You make up your own mind as to whether you think Portland is out of control. Clip two.
Quiet night in Seattle, but Portland was a very different story as a huge protest once again turned violent. Thousands of people surrounded the Justice Center in downtown Portland. But as we have seen repeatedly, late at night, a smaller group attacked the federal courthouse. They pulled plywood off the building, which was protecting glass doors and windows, then broke that glass. They also set several fires, two that required a response from the Portland Fire Department. Portland police did not engage the vandals in the crowd, but federal officers staged inside the courthouse did eventually come out and try to disperse the protesters by firing tear gas and less lethal munitions. We're also getting our first look at body cam video shot Sunday in Seattle. It shows police responding to a protester who was covering a precinct surveillance camera with an umbrella. Several officers moved in and they were quickly hit by thrown bottles and fireworks. We've now learned that two officers were treated at a hospital for injuries. And word came out late yesterday that protesters also had broken into a federal building. They spray painted it, burned an American flag, and tried to detonate an explosive device. And that was the scene inside the CHOP protest zone in Seattle a few weeks ago. A 19-year-old man was shot to death that night in the area where cops had abandoned their precinct. Yesterday, Lorenzo Anderson's mother sued the city of Seattle, claiming officials created the dangerous environment that led to her son's death.
He doesn't deserve to be dead like nobody does, but he most definitely doesn't. He's not that type of kid. He doesn't deserve to be dead. And then he doesn't deserve for the city to not do nothing.
So far, Seattle officials have not responded to the wrongful death lawsuit.
All right, so that's Dan Springer on Portland and Seattle. And let me just say that 15 mayors have demanded that President Trump keep authorities out. Do not send help to our cities. Don't you dare do that. We're doing just fine, according to Earl Blumenauer from Portland. At least he's one of those speaking up. He's their congressman. You know, I just guess the lesson of that is it matters who we send to Washington, doesn't it? It matters that we vote. It has mattered for a long time, and we maybe have let that slip. And if there's anything that we can do to turn that around right now, we should. So there he is, you know, claiming that nothing's happening. We've got Muriel Bowser in D.C., Jenny Durkin, Seattle, Ted Wheeler, Portland, Keisha Lance Bottoms of Atlanta, Lori Lightfoot of Chicago, Quentin Lucas of Kansas City, Missouri, Martin Walsh of Boston, Jim Kinney of Philadelphia, Michael Hancock of Denver, Eric Garcetti of Los Angeles, Sam Licardo of San Jose, California, Libby Schaff of Oakland, Regina Romero of Tucson, Daryl Steinberg of Sacramento, and Kate Gallego of Phoenix. They're all demanding, President Trump, you keep those people out. You don't come in and help us. And the president had a response to that, and I want you to hear it. He had actually a very powerful press conference yesterday which was not covered by much of the media. This morning on Fox, I was looking for clips of his speech, and I couldn't find any. So I thought maybe you might want to hear just a little bit about what your president had to say and what he has in mind to do. This is clip 11.
We are here today to answer the pleas of those crying for justice and crying for help for those people in Chicago and other cities where we'll be. Help is on its way.
All right. It's called Operation Legend. And the president is planning on sending officers into various cities. In fact, maybe he will talk about this a little bit more in this next clip, because it's called, again, Operation Legend. And as he has sent troops into Kansas City and quelled the riots there, you probably didn't even know that, did you? Because it's not being covered. This is what I'm learning, is that, you know, I talk about this every day, and some of you, Fox is still covering these riots. Thank God for that. They're showing pictures, but there are riots in other cities. Did you know Grand Rapids had been ravaged downtown? Did you know that Minneapolis is just the remains of Minneapolis? It's like a war zone, that the damage is much more extensive than the media has ever shown you. Do you know that? Are you seeing riots in your own and these violent demonstrations in your own communities that are not reported? Because that's what I'm hearing. It's taking place across America. And, of course, now I just read this morning that if I can find it later, Andy Ngo just tweeted out the intention of these anarchists, these traitorous children of ours that we raised, I don't know how, but we did, who are planning now to go to smaller cities, and they're advertising, and I'll get into that in just a little bit. But the president laid out what Operation Legend is yesterday. Let's listen to clip 12.
My vision for America's cities could not be more different from the lawlessness being pushed by the extreme radical left. While others want to defund, defame, and abolish the police, I want to support and honor our great police. I want to expand school choice, and every family in America should have that option. We are hiring Americans, and we are buying American product. We want the American dream for American children, and I will fight to deliver that dream. Opportunity cannot thrive where there is violence. Prosperity cannot flourish where there is bloodshed. And security cannot exist where there are violent criminals. That is what Operation Legend is all about.
All right. I want to tell you that, you know, in regard to police, 32 have been killed in 2020. And, of course, since the death of George Floyd killing, I'd say, 28% increase in felonious officer deaths over that same period in 2019. And that's according to ABC News. So 28% in the killing of officers since the George Floyd incident. And that's not all. In Portland, we're learning now that these kids that are playing in the streets and having some sort of a festival. You know, actually, I should jump down here because I want you to see what the governor of Oregon had to say in response to the president sending in federal agents, DHS agents, who have every right to secure federal buildings. It is the Department of Homeland Security. They were established right after 9/11 to secure the homeland from terrorists within the borders. And that can be Islamic, and it can be American-born children of ours. So this is clip 9. Let's listen to Kate Brown, the governor of Oregon, her response to the president. Let's listen.
When I spoke with the director of the Department of Homeland Security last week, I told him to go home and to take his federal troops with him. This is a democracy, not a dictatorship. We cannot have secret police abducting people into and putting them in unmarked vehicles. I cannot believe I have to say that to the President of the United States. I know that Oregonians are outraged. Americans should be appalled.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Oregonians are outraged. We've heard from them. They've called in. A lot of them listen here. Plus, I saw an interview with a local, like a state senator, and he's not outraged. He's so grateful that the president is bringing in troops, and they have every right to be there in spite of what she says. And when they talk about unmarked cars, well, that's what happens all the time. My husband, the former FBI agent who you hear with me sometimes, always drove an unmarked car. You think he's going to, you know, have a car with his name on it and address? Really? This is what law enforcement does. And when they surveil you, they do not mark their cars. And when they go out for action, they don't mark their cars. Now, sometimes they're marked. Police have marked cars. But there are varying purposes, and you wouldn't want them to, because it wouldn't make sense, would it? And now, there's another reason why they don't. We know now that in Portland, these anarchists went into the federal building, and in the process of trying to invade that federal building, which is what DHS was there to protect, many of these federal officers may have been permanently blinded by the lasers that were used on them. The protesters have been using all kinds of things, red, green, and purple lasers aimed at rioters. They actually sent them through the courthouse doors, and then they blocked as they were, brought in an incendiary device, and then they blocked the exit so that the police officers could not get out of the building. That was what their hope was, but they did get out of the building. But in the process, it looks like many of these federal officers may have been permanently blinded. But it's just, you know, everything's under control in Portland. Don't worry. So this is what, I don't know who Klein is, but this is one of the people speaking for the policeman. When officers responded to put out these fires, glass bottles were thrown and lasers, which can cause permanent blindness, were shined in their eyes. We have three officers who currently have eye injuries, and they may not recover sight in those eyes from those laser attacks. Okay, so now that's not all. In Portland, these federal law enforcement officers, many of them have been doxxed. Now, what does that mean? You know what that means, right? That means that their personal information, their home addresses, their children's names, their wives' names, everything about them, all their financial, everything has been exposed. I wonder how they'll use that. And by the way, I read that for the first time, the social media, the ways of communicating inside the federal building have been messed with, and that's the first time they've had that happen. And also now, Portland has banned the police in Portland from working with federal law enforcement. They cannot. They must not. The city council passed new policies on Wednesday that ban all police bureau members from working with federal law enforcement. All right, so that may reflect their mayor, Ted Wheeler, who went out among the protesters yesterday, locking arm in arm, and this is what he said, clip three.
The president has a complete misunderstanding of cause and effect. What's happening here is we have dozens, if not hundreds, of federal troops descending upon our city, and what they're doing is they are sharply escalating the situation. Their presence here is actually leading to more violence and more vandalism. We haven't asked them here. In fact, we want them to leave. We're all telling the Trump administration, stop the rhetoric, take these people out of our city.
Okay, you got the idea. That's the mayor of, and by the way, he got assaulted. Unassaulted, that's too strong of a word. Let's just say he got struggled with the protesters, and they had to get him out of Dodge because they don't like him either. So meanwhile, he defends them. And by the way, I said troops, but it's officers. It's federal officers that are in there. It's not troops. We're not sending military in. These are federal officers who are they're equipped and trained, and this is their job, to protect the homeland. All right, so a couple of things I want to share with you. Of course, the left, you've already figured this out. They're trying to say that the president is using these troops. They're Trump's troops. They're using the words troops. I made a mistake by repeating that. They're federal officers. But they're saying that the president is using these to, you know, to take control of the country. To Eric Holder said in an interview, if I have a chance, I'll play it for you, that he's going to use these troops to take power after he loses the election. Really? This is what they're saying. And as outrageous as it sounds when they say it, we know that this is what they do. And finally, people actually believe it, just like they believe that Trump was a Russian agent. President Trump, Donald Trump, the billionaire playboy for generations, or, well, a couple of decades, in this country, who everyone loved before he became president, was a Russian agent. So, I mean, that's it was ridiculous, and it remains ridiculous, but people began to believe it. So, let me just say, Andy Ngo reported that, again, that the left is now recruiting people to come and be in smaller communities, and they're calling for, the insurrectionists are calling for people to use every tool in the box. We don't need gun control. We don't make demands. Why we break windows, blinding the Cyclops, wrecking Panopticon. I don't even know what that means. But how to evade justice, destroy property, destroy cameras, hack and steal, and more.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Mitchell Silk, Assistant Secretary for International Markets at the U.S. Treasury. In this role, he advances U.S. interests relating to financial stability and regulatory issues while promoting growth. Philippians 4:19 reminds us of another form of prosperity given to us by the Lord. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask you to guide Mitchell Silk as he works for our country's stability and growth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
These challenging times have shown a college degree is more important than ever. But if the loss of Virginia's tuition assistance grant for certain new online students is holding you back, Liberty University is here to help. We're stepping in to replace your lost VTAG funds with our LU Tag Award and combining it with a $3,600 undergraduate transfer student scholarship or our already low first responder and military discounts to save you up to 60% on your degree. We've got this, Virginia. Learn more by texting LU Tag to 49595. That's LU Tag to 49595.
In the early days of the global pandemic, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer was widely ridiculed for banning people from planting gardens. Many blue state governors followed her lead, cracking down on any sort of behavior they might find objectionable. In New York, out-of-state visitors must fill out detailed contact forms. And Washington state businesses have been forced to implement a new policy, no mask, no service. Governor Whitmer, by the way, in Michigan said anyone who does not wear a face covering could face a $500 fine per violation. And one California county approved sweeping penalties for any business that violates public health orders. Politicians crave power, but it's up to we the people to keep that power in check. Unfortunately, too many of our fellow countrymen have decided to sacrifice their personal freedoms for the sake of feeling safe. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live noon to 3 Eastern, or you can download all 3 hours at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Yeah, Tucker, let me just comment on the governor's statement there. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. It's an uneducated statement, and she really needs to understand what the Department of Homeland Security's mission there is in Portland. We are there to protect a federal courthouse and other federal properties there in Portland, and we need to do that. We need to make sure that they are not burned down, as the video showed just a few minutes ago. But we need local law enforcement to be a partner with us. We see this in every other city across the country. When federal property is targeted, we have local law enforcement partnering with federal law enforcement to address that, to investigate and to arrest individuals. That type of assistance is not there in Portland. We have no assistance from the local leadership there, either from the mayor or from the governor. And so what does that mean? That means that the federal agencies and law enforcement officers from the department are left on their own night after night from midnight till 5 a.m. every night, 53 nights in a row. We have upwards to a 500 to 1,000 violent anarchists that are targeting that federal building, endangering the lives of my law enforcement officers. And at this point, we have no support from the local leadership there. And we're not taking it any longer. We're surging forces in there. We're making arrests. We're holding people accountable that are committing federal crimes. And we'll continue to do that. At the same time, I beg and plead with the local law enforcement there to partner with us in that leadership. But as you indicated in the comments that the governor made earlier, she's taken this to be very political and doesn't really understand how the system works.
Yeah, so that's the acting director of Department of Homeland Security. You ask, why is he the acting director? Because the Senate hasn't confirmed him. Yeah, the Senate has, you know, not gotten around to confirming a lot of wonderful appointees that President Trump has appointed, and Chad Wolf was one of them. And by the way, he made an incredible speech on what Department of Homeland Security is about and what they're doing, what they're trying to do. And we're going to, you won't hear this anywhere else. Well, you might if you watch Newsmax or if you watch One America News, but not many places. You hear bits of Chad Wolf on Fox, but we're going to put what he said, his speech, on our Facebook page because I think you should see it. I mean, he's doing an incredible job. He works closely with Ken Cuccinelli, who, as you know, is a longtime friend of mine. Not that that matters at all. It's just that Ken is just knocking it out of the ballpark. These guys are on the front lines, and they're putting themselves in danger. Everyone who supports President Trump right now knows that they're in danger. Because we don't know what's going to happen in November, and I can tell you, those of us that support him, if President Trump does not win, it will be open season on conservatives. Not just some of us are better known than others, so we'll go down first. But it's not going to stop with that because totalitarian regimes, you know, they're just as eager to eliminate small people as big ones. They can intimidate people who are lesser known. I don't mean small and big, I don't mean by worth. I'm just talking about in terms of impact of more people. So I impact more people than other people sometimes because of my outreach. That's all I'm saying. And so I'm just saying they are interested in everyone. They want to silence everyone. They're not particular. They start with people who have some influence, and that hurts and discourages and scares people who have less people-to-people contact. So you might wonder what the presumptive nominee or the nominee of the Democratic Party thinks about all of this. Well, two things. He is now, you know, making statements from his basement. Occasionally he gets out, but when he gets out, he doesn't take any questions. In fact, he said to a reporter, I don't think he's taken any questions since March. And there's a reason for that. In fact, yesterday he was on an interview in an Arizona television station. And this is really weird. So he's being interviewed by this guy, and then suddenly a staffer's voice comes in and says, that's the end of the interview. In fact, let's listen. You don't believe me? Clip 7. Let's listen.
Wearing a mask. Wearing a mask is now a political statement? This is more patriotic. Why do you wear the mask? So you don't make somebody else sick.
I want to ask
sick.
You.
What's with this guy?
Steve, that's our time.
Okay. All right. I appreciate your time. Thanks so much to Mr. Vice President as well.
Thank so you. I hope I can see you again. Thank you.
Okay. So that Thank was you. Not Joe Biden's voice. He said, that's our time. All right. So then Joe Biden, I don't play these for you often because I don't enjoy ridiculing his deficiencies right now. I can't stand him. I haven't been able to stand him for years. I think he is a really... He smiles and sounds so nice, but he is really despicable. I've seen him do despicable things in his position as senator for so many years. He was despicable when he was vice president. Remember when he whispered, we all heard it, in the president's ear about Obamacare when it was passed? This is a big blanking deal. That's what Joe Biden said. He is an absolute liar. He has enriched himself and his family in their dealings with China, and I could go on and on, couldn't I? But right now, I don't feel keen to mock him in his physical problems. That doesn't make me happy at all. But he's the one that the Democrats want to be president. So you need to hear one of his interactions just, I believe, yesterday. Someone was interviewing him, and this is what he said, clip 6.
And I had a nurse at Walter Reed Hospital who would bend down and whisper in my ear.
Wow.
They'd go home and get me pillows. They would make sure they'd actually, probably nothing ever taught in, you can't do it in the COVID time, but they'd actually breathe in my nostrils to make me move, to get me moving.
They would breathe, nurses would breathe in his nostrils to get him moving. So I don't know. I've never heard of that procedure, but my point is that is really Joe Biden. He says some lucid things, but then he says things that are not lucid at all. So he has people around him who, as I understand it, are really fond of Black Lives Matter, the revolutionary communist movement. They give a lot of money to them, and they're giving them a lot of props. And this is what they say that Joe Biden has said. We have a president who is determined to sow chaos. This is Joe Biden supposedly speaking. It was in writing, though. We have a president who is determined to sow chaos and division, to make matters worse instead of better. We all remember the appalling scenes in front of the White House when peaceful protesters were gassed to make way for a Trump photo op. Now Homeland Security agents, without a clearly defined mandate or authority, are ranging far from federal property, stripped of badges and insignia and identifying markings to detain people. They are brutally attacking peaceful protesters, including a U.S. Navy veteran. Of course, the U.S. government has the right and duty to protect federal property. The Obama-Biden administration protected federal property across the country without resorting to these egregious acts. I don't remember anything like, pardon me, this is me talking now. Does anybody recall there being riots in various cities and attacks on federal property during the Obama-Biden era so that they had the need to go and send in forces to protect federal buildings? I don't think I remember that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't remember that. But they're boasting. They did it right, man. They did it right. But the point is this, that he's accusing the president of sending these Homeland Security officers in to brutally attack peaceful protesters. And that, my friends, is nonsense. It is a lie. It is a wicked, wicked lie. And by the way, the president's speech yesterday also on Operation Legend, which he launched yesterday. They're going to go into Chicago and other cities to try to help the people, the citizens of these cities who are held hostage to these horrific, horrific mayors who want the bloodshed, who want their cities destroyed. They don't care. I mean, it's amazing to me. They don't care. I mean, I saw last night in Chicago, you know, again, my hometown, I saw black citizens being interviewed, and they're just, it's their communities where people are being shot left and right and left and right and left and right, 14 at a funeral home just night before last. They're getting desperate. Who cares about them? Who cares about black lives? Evidently, Lori Lightfoot doesn't care. She's the black lesbian mayor of Chicago. No. President Trump, don't send. No, we don't need your help. Don't send in the Trump troops. Well, he's going to send in officers from the Department of Homeland Security who have every right to be there and to protect people in the city of Chicago who have. Listen, the policemen in Chicago are a great bunch. We know a lot of them, you know. They've always been a police force that's just, as I said, like the New York City policemen. They are trained, highly trained, and very capable. But it's horrific what's happening to them, too. All right, enough of that. We're going to put the president's speech on our Facebook page, too, because I'm hoping that you will listen to it. So how are others responding to the president's remarks on Operation Legend? Well, let's see. Bill Kristol, who used to be a friend of mine, who used to be a conservative, who was one of the founders of the Lincoln Project, that group of like Kellyanne Conway's husband, the ones who are running these million dollars of ads talking about how horrific the president is. They're after the president. And now they have former Department of Homeland Security Secretary Tom Ridge speaking out against it. Now, could I just tell you something about former DHS Secretary Tom Ridge? He was appointed by George W. Bush. But I remember him well because you know what? He was the governor of Pennsylvania when that Dr. Gosnell was slaughtering babies in that abortion clinic in Philadelphia, and Tom Ridge refused when he was challenged and asked and begged to go in and check that clinic out. He refused. Tom Ridge was pro-abortion, pro-Planned Parenthood, and he allowed Kermit Gosnell to do his slaughtering under Tom Ridge's leadership, and it wasn't out of ignorance. Trust me, it was not out of ignorance. So I have no regard for what he says about anything. And so that's who they've got. That's the wolves that are being called out to, you know, come after the president and, you know, call it Trump's troops and say that he wants to be a totalitarian dictator, when the truth is that innocent people in these cities are suffering because they have leftist mayors like Ted Wheeler and Lori Lightfoot and whoever the whatever the gal's name is in Seattle. It's just horrific. There's no leadership, no help. They are siding with the rioters, the anarchists. They are out-and-out leftist communists themselves. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. And so the president is interceding, and thank God he is. Let me just say, Andy, no, I mentioned to you earlier that Andy is that Vietnamese-American, well, I think he's American now, journalist who was beaten within an inch of his life by Antifa probably a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago. And Andy, man, he's not backing off. He never has. And he said that these the anarchists, the International Extremist Anarchist Collective, publishes propaganda and terrorism material. And they just released a video on Twitter about Portland calling for insurrections to happen in other cities using every tool in the box. So they are giving instructions on how to evade justice, destroy property, destroy cameras, hack and steal, hide digital tracks and more. And they disseminate their extremist content on Twitter. So that's kind of the lay of the land on that. This is one of those mornings where I have, again, so much to share with you, and I appreciate your patience as I try to make my way through as much of it as I can. I want to now turn to some of your email. You've been sending me incredible things, and I just have to get to some of this, and I'm just grabbing at it for now because I don't have it in a particular order. So this is from Scott. He says, the mayor here in Oxford, Mississippi, Robin Tannehill, has a mandatory mask order for all businesses, customers, and employees. Now she has contracted COVID. I guess Robin is a woman. Has contracted COVID-19. Anyway, the mayor, Robin Tannehill, has contracted COVID-19. Turns out her mask order did not keep her and her family from getting the virus. She has no symptoms. It's a very mild case, and the mask did not stop it. Point well taken. All right, this is from Elizabeth. Elizabeth listens from Virginia. She has to wear the mask all day long. She said, I'm required to wear a mask at work all day long, but she said, I have asthma, and wearing a mask is causing me to hurt in my chest. I'm also dizzy. I feel tired. I need to work, so I'm taking it one day at a time. And so she's beginning to have more asthma attacks, and she said she went to the doctor, and he claimed to her that wearing a mask is no proof that it's causing her asthma to get worse. And is that ridiculous or not? No wonder whose team the doctor's on. That's all I can say. I'm not a doctor, but call me crazy. I think if you have asthma and you have trouble breathing, a mask might not help you. What do you think? So as the non-doctor, now Elizabeth is actually asking me for help. She lives in Richmond. And honestly, I can't, I don't know a doctor in Richmond. She's asking, please, for me to help her find a doctor. I'm not capable of doing that. So, could you do me a favor, those of you that live in Richmond, if you know of a good doctor that's trustworthy and not on the other team, meaning the socialist control team, and really does care about a patient, why don't you send us a suggestion? I think you can send it to sandy@afr.net, and we'll get this to Elizabeth, okay? I would appreciate you helping her because I feel a little helpless to do that right now, sandy@afr.net. And Elizabeth, I just saw, I think I told you, a girl working in the grocery store when I was there last week. And she had, of course, they have to wear their masks all day. And she was very sweet. And I said, hey, how are you doing? I noticed her eyes were all red. And she said, oh, I'm just tired. I've had this on for 7 hours. She said, it always gives me a headache. And I just don't feel well. And I just can't wait to get it off. That's basically what she said to me. And that's what I'm hearing from a lot of people. How awful. How awful. How horrible that for the sake of the death rate of 0.0003 at the most I've seen in some places, that you would take these precautions to, that you would make people's lives miserable. I have more email to share with you about some of you telling me stories about how this is affecting your personal lives. It's horrific. It's just horrific. Really, it is. All right, so stay tuned. I'll tell you what, our phone number is 888-589-8840. If you have something important to say or share that I wouldn't know, we'll take your call. Otherwise, we won't, but 888-589-8840.
Do you want God to work a miracle in your life? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with From His Heart Ministries.
Listen, I don't know how God is speaking to your heart and what he's speaking to your heart about, but I know this, he's present and he's looking for people who will believe him, who will step up. God shows up when you and I step up.
Let God show up in your life. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
In the image of God, he created him, male and female. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. Australian doctors are calling for people to stop using terms named after men to describe body parts, such as Adam's apple and Achilles' heel. For example, Dr. Kristen Small teaches students to phase out irrelevant and misogynistic medical language. Dr. Small said, quote, "I think we have a personal choice to decolonize our language, and these historical terms will fade out," end quote. Dr. Small also said she makes sure her students still know eponyms for exam purposes, but she objects to the fact that women are not represented in most of the 700 body parts that are named after people. Wow.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Ryan Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The number of representatives in Congress each state has is determined by its population of citizens and legal residents. The president is determined to exclude illegal aliens from being added to the count for purposes of representation, and he is right to do so. The Constitution restricts apportionment to those who are legal inhabitants of the United States. Illegal aliens aren't. If they are counted, it rewards states like California, who actively protect illegal aliens and gives them an unfair advantage in Congress over states who play by the rules. If illegals are counted, some states will actually have representatives taken away from them and given to states which break the law by welcoming illegal aliens. That's why regressives are so eager to count them. I say we stick to the Constitution.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Even as Marxist organizations tied to the Chinese Communist Party and Muslim ones now controlled by Sharia supremacist Turkey denounce the United States as systemically racist, evidence of the CCP's cruel oppression of Uyghur Muslims has come to light. Video is circulating showing large numbers of hooded and shackled Uyghurs being herded Nazi-like onto railroad cars, reportedly en route to slave labor factories making products for companies like Nike and Apple. To date, the self-styled anti-racist revolutionaries here have been curiously silent about what the Chinese communists are doing with the acquiescence of their Islamist Turkish allies. This simply underscores the fraud they are perpetrating, using professed concern about black Americans as cover to incite a race war here and the destruction of our republic. Evidently, that's something to which the CCP, Turkey, and our enemies within all aspire. They must be stopped. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, so I want to turn to your email now and Facebook comments because I want to do this. I got an email from Robert. He says, among other things, he said, "It's disheartening to me that I never get even an acknowledgement of my email comments." Robert, I'm sorry about that, and just know that you're not alone. It's just hard. We don't have a lot of staff. And so I do read almost every single one. Sometimes now it's getting a little hard because we're getting more responses, and I have... But I apologize to you, and just know to all of you, I do try to read all of them, but I just cannot respond to them. It's just the limitations of not having a huge staff. And so I could say more about that, but that's just the way it is right now. Okay, so Then this is kind of a simple one by comparison. Sean writes, they would like to donate to President Trump's campaign, but they also would like to contact the president and just tell him we are praying for him and we support him. How can we do that? So in terms of donating to the campaign, he's concerned about the wrong sites. I'm not sure that I can help you with that. I would say check with follow Steve Bannon. He's got this show called The War Room. If you kind of do a little investigation on that, I bet he would lead you to someplace that you could trust. I don't really know right offhand because that's just not my world. Honestly, as much as I talk about politics, I'm not really part of that world in terms of actually being a political operative. I'm a policy operative. That's different. I know a lot about policy. I do know a lot of politicians, but I'm not like trying to get some party to win, only in the sense that the policies are what I want to win, and sometimes they are guided by politicians, if that makes any sense at all, but I'm not part of the party apparatus. Okay, so if you want to make a comment to the president, the best thing to do is call the White House and leave a message. That'd be the very best thing to do. If you don't want to leave, do it by voice, do it at whitehouse.gov. Whitehouse.gov, and you can leave a comment there, okay? And the president will see that, so he'll hear about it. So this is kind of random, so I'm going to jump through this. This is from Rita. She sent me, by the way, I'm not encouraging you guys to send me articles because you can imagine that I have more than I can manage right now. But occasionally, if you see something really unique that's not available, like don't send me a Breitbart article or something that's available that people know about. But if you know something, you see something that's you think I might not see, that's different. But this is from, I didn't see this, and this is from Christianity Today. And more pastors agree with Andy Stanley, no worship services until 2021. So Andy Stanley announced Monday that his Atlanta area multi-site church will not resume in-person services until 2021 due to coronavirus. It's North Point Community Church. Many of you know about that. The Barna Group has been conducting polls, and over the last week, 5% of pastors, I don't know when the poll was conducted, but it has to be pretty recent here. 5% of pastors said they didn't expect to reopen this year. And just 2 months ago, none of those were thinking that, none of those respondents. North Point, which gathered 38,000 attendees across locations during a typical pre-pandemic weekend, has announced in May plans for an August 9th reopening, but now they are waiting till 2021. They opted to postpone at least 6 months rather than wait to see what happens with the fall. And in the video announcement, Andy Stanley said that if they did reopen, only a small portion of the church could attend, and the church could not guarantee safety from the virus. So, and then he also said that, something about it, and I'm sorry. I want to read what he said here. This is what I'm absolutely confident that the church and our local churches will not only survive this, but I think ultimately we're going to thrive as a result. I can't see how that's possible. I think a lot of pastors are going to wake up and realize that their churches have disintegrated. A lot of these brand new buildings are going to go unpaid for. Staff is going to have to be laid off, and even pastors may be in trouble for their jobs. That's the truth of the matter. If things continue the way they are, and it's not just because of COVID, it's because of all I've explained to you that's behind this push to control and stifle people's free speech and control them. It's very dangerous. And pastors don't, many of them, many do understand, but many don't. Many are just clueless. Oh, no, we've got to, straighten the curve, whatever it's called. All right, this is, all right. You know what? I'm going to go to the phones. I just have to make some choices here. Let me go to Darlene in Virginia. Good morning, Darlene. How are you?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Good, good. So, hey, what's on your mind?
I wanted to call. I heard your discussion about the lady who's in Richmond and needs a doctor because she's wearing the mask and she's having difficulty breathing and having increased asthma. Yeah. I'm going to email you a contact person for you to get that back to
her. Okay, good. Thank you.
A doctor in the area. But I wanted to tell you, I do industrial health, and I'm a nurse practitioner, and I've been working with people for many years now, clearing them to wear respirators, including N95s and half face, full face, and all that kind of thing. And what I'm seeing is an objective data field where just the difference is the people are wearing a mask. I saw a fellow who's a crane operator who works in a little enclosed crane full of, covered with glass, but he's required to wear a mask. So he cut off a sleeve of a T-shirt and he pulls it up on his face and he wears this thing all day long. His lung function decreased 20% in 1 year just from wearing that mask or wearing that piece of T-shirt, cotton on his face. I'm seeing truck drivers who are having decreased lung function. It's amazing, but nobody's telling them. No one's telling them. I mean, the N95 mask has a warning on it. If you're not medically cleared, you could have breathing difficulties and suffer results like death.
Darlene,
but no one's telling them
this. Let me ask you something. See, I've been thinking about, you know, what we are experiencing, broadly speaking, is a series of moral choices. And here you are, a nurse, with all the knowledge and expertise that you have, and this is what you're seeing. You were trained to save people's lives and to make them better, and you are watching people be harmed by an official position of the medical profession. That must be an incredible moral dilemma for you personally.
It is. You do not know how many times I just want to walk up to the elderly people who are pushing their shopping carts with their N95 masks slammed onto their faces, and they're struggling to walk, I mean, and push their carts and get back to their cars. And I just want to say, take it off. Please, just take it off. I mean, people who have COPD, people who have asthma, people who have chronic bronchitis and pneumonia and lung changes from all of that are doing harm by wearing a mask all day long. I mean, I'm telling my patients, only wear it when you absolutely have to.
Well, God bless you, Darlene. And listen, I appreciate this call. This call is very important. In fact, I probably will use this in other ways, just beyond what you might know. So important. Your information is important.
Thank you.
You're like a watchman on the wall. So please be safe. And I'm sure you're a Christian. You wouldn't be listening to this show. So we just pray that God will give you strength and protect you. Yeah, protect you. So God bless you.
And I'm going to send you, I'm heading in my office. And as soon as I get there, I'm going to send you an email with a pulmonologist. Information for you to send to the lady with the asthma.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Darlene, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Let me go to Sherry in Mississippi. Hey, Sherry. Good morning. Hello, Sherry.
This is from Mississippi.
Hi
can
there.
You hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Hi.
Hi.
I know from your intro that you're a musician, and I have my three kids. Are going into band, so they want to go to school. They don't want to homeschool. So the band director is starting band camp, and he's saying in the building during band rehearsal, they have to wear a mask. I have a trumpet player. It's going to be wearing a mask with a hole in it to play the trumpet. I have a flute player. They're trying to figure out what kind of mask can a flute player wear. This is ridiculous.
Well, I would say, I mean, really, I think, Sherry, you know, let's see. There's got to be a way to mock that. Maybe make a poster, you know, of somebody playing an instrument, you know, through the hole of a mask. Or, you know, the only response I know to that is to mock it. It's ridiculous. I'm with you. Now, in Mississippi, do you guys have to wear masks everywhere now?
Yes. And for me, just going to the store, that's no big deal because I'm wearing the thinnest little piece of cloth I can find so I can breathe. But like the lady was just saying, those N95s, I have one in case someone in my house gets COVID so I can wear it in our house. And that is so hard to breathe in. My husband works 12-hour shifts. And in his job in the factory, he is so far from people. He's nowhere near 6 feet. He's 12 feet. And he has to wear that mask 12 hours a day.
That's horrific. It's horrific, Sherry. Listen, I have to move on, but I heard everything you said. And God bless and keep you and give you wisdom beyond measure in dealing with your kids in this situation. All of us are going to have, thank you, Sherry, are going to have to have wisdom beyond our capabilities, no question about it. By the way, I got an email. I'll try to tell this meaningfully but quickly. I got an email from a listener who has a Down syndrome child, and she sent me a Facebook post of her friend who has a Down syndrome child who had a horrendous experience. She had stopped. The child had gone to therapy, and she had stopped at a public restroom and was taking her little girl to the bathroom. And in the process, the little girl had a mask on, pulled her mask off, pulled her mommy's mask off. There was nobody in the bathroom. And when they got out, they only had a dryer that is, you know, automatic. It wasn't towels. And the little child has a terrible fear of that sound. So she used hand sanitizer. A woman, meanwhile, had come into the door and stood in the doorway and barked at them that she was not going to let them leave till they washed their hands. She doesn't understand the circumstances. She has no knowledge of this little girl's situation and why they're using this hand sanitizer, but she gets worse. She starts screaming at them for the mother for not wearing the mask and for the child, and the child is so upset that the mother cannot put the mask on her and knows she can't because there will be a worse meltdown. And then the lady just keeps screaming, and finally a policeman hears and comes, and they stop the woman, but meanwhile she's still screaming, and in the process, she says something about if that retard can't be made to mind, then she shouldn't be out in the public to start with. Yeah, so that story, what does that mean to all of us? It means that there is cruelty unleashed on the land, that we are turning on each other, that we are becoming Nazis. It is amazing how people are becoming Nazis. We didn't think, you know, we criticized the Germans. How could that happen to normal people? This is happening to us. And and courtesy of our politicians right now, courtesy of the Nazis who are trying to rule us right now, and the delusion. It is such a delusion. It's amazing to me. All right, I want to tell you some good news. Okay, I could take more phone calls, but I want to give you a little bit of good news if I could. Okay, there is some polling that indicates, first of all, that America is turning against Black Lives Matter. Not the black lives, not black Americans, but Black Lives Matter. And black Americans are turning against them too. In June, 44% of Americans supported it, 34% opposed it, and now 41% support and 44% oppose. And that's a trend. So that means it's moving because people are finally getting the memo that Black Lives Matter is a socialist, communist, totalitarian movement that wants to destroy the United States. Remember the Black Lives Matter lady yesterday said that one of the leaders said our goal is to destroy the United States? Well, that's what they're trying to do. So people are not really down with that. 62% of Americans, by the way, according to a new poll that was just sent to me, say that they have political views that they are afraid to share. And you can imagine, I can't extrapolate that right now given the time, but basically 62% agree that the political climate these days prevents me from saying things I believe because others might find them offensive. And then another poll from a group I trust, American Principles Project. They polled states in 10 battleground states, and they found out that the polls, let's just say the polls are not what the others are reporting. The sample here is just really, really good. 42,000 likely general election voters. And they show that President Trump is ahead in many, many states where they say he's behind. I don't have time to enumerate them right now, but that's just to give you an idea. Senate elections, some of the senators are, the Republicans are behind. I think Joni Ernst is. But Antilles is tied in North Carolina with the Democrats. So what you're hearing on the Fox polls is not accurate. And I think the American people understand what's at stake here. And I just wanted to leave that with you. Have a good evening, and thank you so much for listening, and just keep praying. Sandy Rios in the morning.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.